This is Viewpoint with attorney and author Chuck Crismeyer. Viewpoint is a one-hour talk show confronting the issues of America's heart and home. And now with today's edition of Viewpoint, here is Chuck Crismeyer.
Prepare to be shocked today, friends. Prepare to be shocked. What we're going to talk about here on the program today is something that very few Christians know about or even would concern themselves with. But today, you will find out how serious a matter this really is. It may actually foretell the rapid New World Order and the coming of Christ. Here's the headline. King Trump? That's a question. Israeli religious leaders look to Trump for world peace. Now that should catch your attention right away, if you have any kind of biblical understanding whatsoever. But let's go on. Let's take a look at this piece coming from Charisma News. And by the way, lest you should think that this is just coming from one source like Charisma News, it is not. I have in front of me a listing, having Googled this issue, a listing of many of the news places around the world who have talked about this particular development. You just don't hear it upon the news. You don't hear it in the news because everything is about Ukraine, or everything's about women and men together in the same bathrooms and so on. That seems to me the focus of America. But wait a minute. What we're going to talk about today is going to capture your attention, guaranteed. Here we go. As the Trump administration continues to make major changes that are impacting the world, his establishing of a faith office has brought about worldwide attention, especially from religious leaders. In a letter from the nascent Sanhedrin in Jerusalem, the Jewish religious leaders blessed the president for his actions and invited him to come to Israel, hoping he could bring about peace for the world. Now, this kind of language should get your attention. But wait till we finish today on Viewpoint. The letter further explains moral laws from a Jewish standpoint and explains the importance of the first commandment and the purpose of good business ethics. However, the letter from the Sanhedrin gets into something that just may connect directly to biblical prophecy. Are you ready for this? In 2017, the nascent Sanhedrin, nascent means that it was in the position of being reborn, minted a special coin featuring your image. This is a letter to Donald Trump. Featuring your image, Mr. Trump, on one side and Cyrus the Great on the other. This symbolized your historic role, likened to that of Cyrus, who was chosen by God to fulfill a divine mission. Trump has been compared to Cyrus, and now that he has also referred to himself as the king, could he truly be turning more and more into that image, writes this author. Perhaps the most striking part about this is that the Sanhedrin is asking Trump to create an international divine court. To get out of the international criminal court and to form an international divine court. Now, what would that look like? That's what we have to take a look at here today on Viewpoint. And quite frankly, as we do, your eyes are going to be opened wider than you thought they could ever be opened. So the Sanhedrin said, "We invite you, Mr. Trump, to meet with the Sanhedrin court rabbis in Jerusalem to discuss the establishment of an international divine court for all nations. This court would be based on the 7 universal commandments given to Noah, a foundation for global peace and divine justice." Well, it sounds exactly like the fulfillment of biblical prophecy in the end times. Global world peace and religion is not something we've ever seen, but could Trump be the one to set this in action, writes this author? Only time will tell. For anyone who is has a modest interest in end time prophecy, that letter should capture your attention, perhaps almost more than anything else. I have in front of me, by the way, right now, that very letter. February 12, 2025, from Jerusalem. Letter from the nascent Sanhedrin to President Donald J. Trump. Beginning with the words, May Hashem, that means the God, the Creator, bless you and your nation. So we're going to take a look at the implications of this. I'm not going to reread all of that letter for you because we have just distilled the majority of what its implications really are. Well, at least on the surface. What we have done is distilled the information, but not the application. It's the application, my friends, that should bring us even perhaps to our knees. In chapter 19 of my book, Messiah, Unveiling the Mystery of the Ages, is the headline, Noahide Laws and Olam Haba. Noahide Laws and Olam Haba. Now, what does that mean? It's talking about the world coming into oneness. The world to come. But what is going to bring the world into this oneness? What is this world to come? And who's going to be part of it? That's what we need to talk about from the viewpoint today of the Sanhedrin, 71 elders of Israel, the same group, by the way, that called for Jesus' crucifixion in 2030. Before Pontius Pilate, they had already had their religious trial, and now they took him before Pontius Pilate to have the Romans finally put him to death. That's the group, the 71 elders of Israel. That group was just recently reestablished. I say recently because it disappeared for 1,600 years. On October 13th, 2004, the Sanhedrin, which is the highest tribunal of the Jewish state and religion, was re-inaugurated over 1,600 years by 71 leading rabbis in Tiberias. Their purpose was to rebuild the temple and considered crucial in preparation for the Messianic age. Then, on June 9, 2006, 2 years later, a group of non-Jewish delegates came to Jerusalem to pledge their loyalty to the laws of Noah, as reported by Israel National News. Well, what are those laws? Does it matter to us today? And why is it that President Ronald Reagan in 1987 cited those very laws and confirmed by Congress those very laws as the bedrock of society, including George W. Bush, who in 1991 reaffirmed the bedrock of society? What does that mean? We'll be right back.
Once upon a time, children could pray and read their Bibles in school. Divorces were practically unknown, as was child abuse. In our once great America, virginity and chastity were popular virtues and homosexuality was an abomination. So what happened in just one generation? Hi, I'm Chuck Crismeyer, and I urge you to join me daily on Viewpoint, where we discuss the most challenging issues touching our hearts and homes. Could America's moral slide relate to the Fourth Commandment?
Listen to Viewpoint on this radio station or anytime at saveus.org.
Again, I welcome you to Viewpoint. I'm Chuck Crismeyer. Today, we're talking about what is called the Noahide Laws. 12 pages in my book, Messiah, Unveiling the Mystery of the Ages, contain a discussion of Noahide Laws and Olam Haba, which is the unification of the world for the world to come. I'm just putting a basic understanding from a Gentile view on what that really means. So I asked the question, will Noahidism unite the world? Believe it or not, that is implicit in the letter that came on February 12th from the nascent Sanhedrin in Israel to President Donald Trump, which I have in my hands, that very letter. So I say, prepare to be surprised. Your entrance as a Gentile to Olam Haba, the world to come, is totally dependent upon your allegiance to and observance of what are called the seven Noahide laws. That's according to Orthodox Jewish beliefs. That may seem strange to you, but the penalty for failure to adhere to those Noahide laws is death by decapitation under a Noahide court system, which would be defined by the Sanhedrin as a religious or divine court. Please allow these words to kind of rest in your mind, stir around a little bit as we talk a little further. So, all around the world, there are Noahide groups that are multiplying, convinced that adhering to these seven Noahide laws is necessary for all Gentiles, in fact, the whole world that is not Jewish, if they have any hope of the world to come, known in Hebrew as Olam Haba. Now, there's another phrase that the Jewish people have. It's called Tikkun Olam, which is the hope of the world. It's talking about the getting the world in shape for things to be as God would have intended, Tikkun Olam, from a Jewish viewpoint. So in other words, for there to be Tikkun Olam, there must also be the embrace of Gentiles of the Noahide laws. It's absolutely essential. But why is it essential? We need to explore that. So you say, well, what are these Noahide laws? Well, here they are. I'm going to distill them very simply for you. Do not deny God. Do not blaspheme God. Do not murder. Do not engage in sexual immorality. Do not steal. Do not eat the flesh of a living animal. And establish courts and legal system to enforce these laws. These laws were first defined in the Talmud, not the Torah, in the Talmud. And it distinguishes it from the Torah. The Torah was the Hebrew word for instruction, the first five books of Moses of the Bible that Christians usually call the Pentateuch. The Talmud is the Hebrew word for learning. It's not the instructions, it's the learning. It doesn't contain the Torah, but is an extensive rabbinic commentary on the Torah, comprising what today is the Jewish religion from an Orthodox Jewish viewpoint, that refers to all of the way Jewish history, laws, and beliefs are to be dealt with, known as halakha, halakha laws, laws upon laws, defined applicationally by rabbis, also referred to as the oral law. So the Talmud was written by many rabbis over a very long period of time. And now we know that there are other documents. One is called the Mishnah, and the other is called the Gemara. And these documents also expanded on the Torah and the Talmud. Now, let's break down these Noahide laws for a moment. This is what we're told that Jew and Gentile need to know about the rabbinic origin, interpretation, and application of God's instructions to Noah and his sons after the flood, and by implication, all Gentiles. Please listen carefully. The first is the seven Noahide laws are not explicitly listed in the Bible. Therefore, they are, as expressed, extra-biblical or outside the Bible. Second, the idea of a form set of laws given to all humanity, that is, the sons of Noah, comes from, not the Torah, but the Talmud. Rabbis somewhere between 200 AD and 500 AD defined and installed their concept of the Noahide laws in the Talmud, which, by the way, in Jewish practice is their operational Bible with equal authority for life, practice, and belief. So that is what is called rabbinic Judaism, because it's a system that's devised and designed by rabbis. It's not the biblical Judaism understood by Moses, David, the prophets, or even Yeshua. According to rabbinic Judaism, a Gentile does not have to follow the Mosaic law, but is required to keep the Noahide laws, which are unequivocally binding, according to Orthodox Judaism, that is, rabbinic Judaism. Gentiles who follow and observe the Noahide laws are then said to be righteous Gentiles, that is, one of the pious, and assured of a portion of the world to come, that is, the very term that we used earlier, Olam Haba. Nowhere in Genesis 9 is mentioned or alluded to a call for establishment of a Noahide court and judicial system. So in other words, that was called for by the rabbis in order to enforce the rest of the Noahide laws. Next, the punishment to be meted out to a Gentile or Noahide for transgression of nearly all of the seven laws is decapitation. So because Christians believe Jesus to be the Son of God, Christians are by Jewish definition blasphemous and idolaters. And it was on that ground that the very same Sanhedrin brought Jesus to Pontius Pilate to be crucified. That was the ground, blasphemy, because he claimed to be come from the Father and the Son of God. So why then did in 1987 President Ronald Reagan sign a proclamation speaking to the historical tradition of ethical values and principles, which he said had become the bedrock of society from the dawn of civilization, that were known as the seven Noahide laws? Why did he do that? And it's interesting, the famous Jewish scholar Maimonides, back in the 12th century, declared that God commanded Moses to compel the world to accept these seven commandments. And the same Maimonides declared that anyone who does not accept the seven laws is to be executed. Executed on what authority? Well, there would have to be a divine court. A universal divine court. And that's exactly what the Sanhedrin has called Donald Trump to do, to establish a universal divine court. For what purpose? For the purpose of enforcing the seven laws or Noahide laws. Are you beginning to get the significance here? This is happening right now. This letter came out February 12th. That was last month. Just 3 weeks ago, this letter came out. That is as current as you can get, friends. And it's right here in front of us. If one embraces the seven Noahide laws with the proposed new global order by virtue of the mutual allegiance pledged, in other words, these seven Noahide laws, from the Jewish perspective, are to unite the world in a one-world global order under the so-called spiritual authority of these Noahide laws. Not under Christ, but under the Noahide laws. It's interesting, because this kind of thinking is congruent with New Age theology that's calling for those who refuse to become as one with the so-called cosmic Christ to be selected out by the process of selection thus removed from the planet to increase and preserve unity. So a person is free to choose to embrace such promise of global unity or just be dismissed from the living as the enemy of world peace or shalom. Are you beginning to get the bigger picture? This is about a whole new world. A whole new world order. The new world order is not just something established there in the World Economic Forum or by the UN, even though these things are set for 2030 as their culmination. But now we have this even more serious announcement. A special call to Donald J. Trump to be the Cyrus of the world and of Israel, to deliver Israel as a messianic figure. That's what Cyrus was seen as, a type of Christ, a messianic figure. And now, to establish Noahide laws to govern a unified world. But the world would have to be unified around this. How would that possibly happen? If indeed the Messiah is a mere man, humanity is then mandated to pledge allegiance for future hope to such a man and his global system, resting his life and destiny upon the good graces of a mortal who gains dominion by flattery rather than divine favor, as declared in the Tanakh, the book of Daniel, chapter 11. So herein lies the test of truth. In whom or what can a person place his or her ultimate trust when destiny is in the balance? You think destiny might be in the balance? I think so, my friends. And do not try to diminish what we're saying here today on Viewpoint. This is the real deal. And how about a young lady, beautiful young lady, who happens to be the daughter of Donald J. Trump, who decided to marry a gentleman who was an Orthodox Jew, a very wealthy fellow, seems to be quite wise, quite fascinating, quite understanding. In fact, he's the one that behind the scenes was given credit for orchestrating the Abraham Accords. What was the purpose of the Abraham Accords? To unite the Arab and Muslim world and Israel. In other words, world peace by uniting them. But now this is something that throws the stone of world order and the whole concept of world government into, it just throws it so far down the track that it's almost hard to get your mind and heart around it. So to help you gain a better perspective of this, I'd like to offer you my book, Messiah, Unveiling the Mystery of the Ages. That's what this book does. It unveils so many different aspects that are challenging our world, challenging Christians, challenging the world in the name of all kinds of religious and spiritual motivations as an alternative to the Messiah himself. Part four of the book is called The Globalist Messiah. A global Messiah will one day rule the world. That's the very nature of every messianic movement, religious, quasi-religious, or otherwise. The contestants are many and varied, but each seeks to be victorious. Get a copy of the book, friends. It's a $22 book, yours for $18. Messiah Unveiling the Mystery of the Ages. I think it'll open your eyes, not only to this issue, but many, many others. It's on our website, saveus.org. You can call us 1-800-SAVE-USA. Write to us at $6 for postage and handling.
There is so much more about Chuck Chrismeyer and Save America Ministries.
on our website, saveus.org. For example, under the marriage section, God has marriage on his mind. Chuck has some great resources to strengthen your marriage. First off, a fact sheet on the state of the marital union, a fact sheet on the state of ministry, marriage, and morals. SaveUS.org. Marriage, divorce, and remarriage. What does the Bible really teach about this? Find all of this at SaveUS.org. Also, a letter to pastors, the Hosea Project, SaveUS.org, and many more resources to strengthen your marriage. It's all on Chuck's website, SaveUS.org. Again, you can listen to Chuck's Viewpoint broadcast live and archived. Save America Ministries website at SaveUS.org.
Again, it's a delight to be able to join you here on Viewpoint to talk about the things that matter most from God's eternal perspective. Not necessarily from America's perspective, not necessarily from a Republican perspective, a Democrat perspective, any of these other things, because they're earthbound. What we want to do, insofar as possible, is embrace and take a look at the issues of our time from God's eternal perspective. What they mean, how they apply. It doesn't mean we don't talk about the other issues. For instance, yesterday we had a very sincere and serious talk about Ukraine and what's going on. We analyzed the situation quite differently than was then being analyzed. And what is interesting is that after we did that, it's fascinating that many of the viewpoints, many of the ways in which those viewpoints are being expressed got modified and changed just in 24 hours. I've been listening to it on the air, on various interviews. So what we do here on Viewpoint is not an effort to regurgitate what other people are doing. Why would you need to come to this program when you can hear that anywhere else? No, that's not what our purpose is. Our purpose is to see things from God's perspective so that our lives can be prepared. We can prepare our children and our grandchildren. Pastors can truly prepare their people, and we can live in harmony, not with the world, but with the Lord. We were talking about the Jewish scholar Maimonides back there in the 12th century. He declared that God commanded Moses to compel the world. Notice the force of these words, to compel the world to accept these seven commandments or Noahide laws. He also declared that anyone who does not accept the seven laws is to be executed. Now, that doesn't sound like a very friendly term. They're seen as the universal laws from a Jewish viewpoint, particularly an Orthodox Jewish viewpoint. And if you don't buy into them, you deserve to be removed from the planet. You're not worthy. So, in regard to that apparent goal of world domination, you may be familiar with the revered Lubavitch Rabbi Schneerson, who many Orthodox Jews thought was the Messiah. He's dead now, but they're still worshiping him. Here's what he said. Consequently, it is obvious and self-evident that in modern times we must carry out the divine command that we received through Moses to compel all human beings to accept the commandments enjoined upon the descendants of Noah. We must therefore deduce that this is an auspicious time to conquer the world with Torah. Conquer the world with Torah. Now, that implies force, my friends. You don't conquer the world through anything other than force. That word implies force. Another Lubavitcher article said, the final war for Jerusalem proclaims Judaism has always been a conquering religion, not for the purpose of converting Gentiles to become Jews, but rather with the mission of returning the world to the universal covenant between God and Noah. And as the Lubavitcher Reb Schneerson has explained, by transforming the Gentiles, we can quickly create a vast army of supporters. There it is, army, who will help us reveal Moshiach, that's Messiah, and bring all Jews back to the Torah. So he said, our most pressing task, to put it simply, is to launch an international Noahide revolution without delay. The process has already begun, with dozens of Noahide communities having appeared throughout the United States, generally composed of former Christians who have abandoned their religion. The growing Noahide movement will seize political power, using only peaceful, lawful means in the capitals of the Western nations. The United States, as a fairly religious conservative nation, certainly tops the list of such prospects. Well, who is the president of the United States? The father of a converted Orthodox Jewish daughter. Now, what that means, I can't tell you. That's just the fact. So, that having been said, and we also see that Mr. Trump, while many claim is a born-again Christian, we do not hear him use such terminology, ever. I'm not sure why. But we do hear him talk about needing more religion in the country. Well, that's exactly what these rabbis are saying. We need more religion. What kind of religion? Orthodox Judaism. And for Gentiles, not directly Orthodox Judaism, but the obedience and declared allegiance to the Noahide laws. So that becomes the uniting factor with the proposed new global order by virtue of the mutual pledge of allegiance. And those who refuse to so pledge are dismissed from the earth through decapitation, thus increasing and enforcing unity. Now, I want you to think about this. The purpose of this is not to strike fear, but to try to help us understand how things really are in the world. When I wrote the book, When Persecution Comes, Preparing Hearts for Perilous Times, I wasn't thinking just about the Noahide laws, although I had those in mind. I was thinking of many, many more applications and implications that would be more common to American Christians' understanding of how they would be challenged. But can you imagine yourself being faced with an international law and an international divine court that will rule on whether you embrace the Noahide laws, which means by definition you have to not deny Christ because that's deemed to be blasphemy? Are you beginning to get the implication? So if you are not prepared to stand in such a day and in such a time, even though this is purportedly being marketed, sold as something great, something, the greatest thing since sliced bread. Let's unify the whole world around a divine court and the Noahide laws. Where will it lead? It will lead to no place holy. Now, again, I'd like to give you an opportunity to get a copy of my book, Messiah, Unveiling the Mystery of the Ages. And by the way, that only deals with one chapter. How about so many other things? The imposter, the little horn, Daniel's unveiling drama. How about the Masonic Messiah? How about the Marxist Messiah? How about the evolutionary Christ? How about the environmental deification? Scientific salvation, the United Nations Savior, the cafeteria Christ, all of these things, friends, It will open your eyes. This is the application of Scripture to our immediate times to help us steer away and not be captured by every wind of such enticing things that make people feel good and maybe this is the great thing that I should follow. Pied Piperism. Now, so get a copy of the book, Messiah Unveiling the Mystery of the Ages. It's a $22 book, yours for $18 on our website, saveus.org. Call us, 1-800-SAVE-USA. That's 1-800-SAVE-USA, or write to us at Save America Ministries. P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255. You're writing a check at $6 for postage and handling. Now, again, since I mentioned it again, I'm going to bring up the book, When Persecution Comes. Not if persecution comes, but when it comes, because it's coming, and it's coming rapidly. This is proof that it's coming. And it's coming not on the wings of a snow-white dove. It's coming in the name of religion. Even the Pope may be willing to embrace it. He's trying to unify the world under the wings of the papacy. Gain the favor of the secular globalists. All of these things are working together. The book, When Persecution Comes, Preparing Our Hearts for Perilous Times. $25 will put the book in your hands. It's on our website, saveus.org. Saveus.org. Give us a call, 1-800-SAVE-USA, 1-800-SAVE-USA, or write to us at Save America Ministries. P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255. Writing a check and $6 for postage and handling. Now, if you get both of these books, it's not going to be $6 for both books. It's going to be $6 for the first book and only $2 for the second book. Okay? So bear that in mind. All right. Now, we've got to continue to move forward here, because what is happening is so amazing that I have in my hands the actual letter. Well, it's a copy of the actual letter from the Sanhedrin to President Donald J. Trump, February 12, 2025. It says the book of Genesis has a profound message of unity and divine purpose for humanity through three fundamental principles. One God, to recognize the cause of all causes. One first man, to affirm the basic equal rights of humanity, and one basic law, to establish universal principles of justice, and that's where they come up with the Noahide laws. Without a constructive moral framework, humanity descends into violence and destruction. Therefore, we need the Noahide laws, they say.
Have you ever considered what the early church was like? Many people are developing a heart longing for greater fulfillment in our practices as Christians. A recent study showed 53,000 people a week are leaving the back door of America's churches in frustration. What is going on? Why has there not been even a 1% gain among followers of Christ in the last 25 years? Could it be that God is seeking to restore first century Christianity for the 21st century? Jesus said, "I'll build my church." Is Christ by his Spirit stirring to prepare the church for the 21st century? The early church prayed together and broke bread from house to house. They were family, and it was said by all who observed, "Behold how they love one another." Incredible.
But the same can be found right now. Go to saveus.org and click Sell Church. We can revive first century Christianity for the 21st century.
It's about people, not programs. It's about a body, not a building.
That's saveus.org. Click Sell Church.
Welcome back to Viewpoint. I'm Chuck Chrismeyer. Today, we launched the program with a letter that came specifically dated February 12th, 2025, from the 71 elders of Israel, governing all Israel, to Donald J. Trump, encouraging him to establish a divine court for the world. Now, Donald Trump had already said he wants to get out of the International Criminal Court and has urged Israel to do the same. That information has come out again, repeated, just in the last 2 days. So if they're going to come out of the International Criminal Court, what are they going to replace it with? Well, that's exactly the point. The Sanhedrin says you must replace it with a divine court. Not a secular court, but a divine court. Well, who will be the ones to judge the divine court? From their viewpoint, the Sanhedrin, the 71 elders of Israel. Well, they were the ones that judged whether Jesus was the Messiah. And they determined that one of the pieces of the Noahide law condemned him to death. One of the seven elements of the Noahide laws condemned Jesus to death. So what were those laws? Do not deny God. Do not blaspheme God. Do not murder. Do not engage in sexual immorality. Do not steal. Do not eat the flesh of a living animal. Those are the six operational laws incumbent upon all Gentiles, they say, not the Ten Commandments. Then number seven is to establish courts and a legal system to enforce those six laws. Now, do we have a problem with do not deny God? No, unless it depends on who you say God is. If you say God is a tree, or God is Mother Earth, or if you say God is some cosmic Christ or whatever, you say God is one of the 300 million Hindu gods, God is Allah, or so on, you've already got a problem. So you have to define the terms. They say the devil is always in the details. And that's how people get deceived. They don't get deceived by the bigger things, they get deceived by the small things that are lurking behind the bigger things that seduce them. Do not murder. Who could possibly be against that? Do not murder. Except perhaps those that are promoting abortion. But then again, they're saying they're not murdered. They're just doing a loving thing. You see, it all boils down to the details. How about do not engage in sexual immorality? Well, what is sexual immorality? We all thought we knew what sexual immorality was until the last 30, 40 years, until we've defined deviancy down so far that sexual immorality has become just basically do whatever you want to do. Doesn't matter. Do not steal. I mean, who would be offended by that? Unless, of course, you're a government that wants to take from those that have and give to those that have not. You see, the devil's always in the details. Do not eat the flesh of a living animal. Now, that one seems pretty clear. In other words, as the early church said, do not eat with blood. Beyond that, we're okay as long as we understand the details. But the biggest detail here that catches us is do not blaspheme God. Now, why is that? Excuse me. Because from the Jewish perspective, if you claim that Jesus is Messiah, the only begotten Son of God, full of grace and truth, you are by definition a blasphemer. Because you're, from their viewpoint, you're claiming that there are at least two gods, the Father and the Son. They say that's blasphemy. But you say, but we say the Lord our God is one. Well, that's what they say too. I mean, even in Genesis chapter 1, it says, let us make man in our image. They use the plural in the Bible right there in the Torah, but the Jewish leaders don't get it. Let us make man in our image. Now they say, the Lord our God is one, therefore it can't be God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So they don't even consider the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, to be part of the Godhead. Because by definition, that's blasphemy. Beginning to see our problem. So, if you come under the jurisdiction of the divine worldwide court ruled by the Sanhedrin, you are by definition subject to being executed, beheaded, decapitation. That's where it is. You may not think that that's where it is, but that is where it is. Now, a decision was made. In fact, excuse me, I'm just fighting this deep chest cold. Both Jew and Gentile are facing monumental choices right now in this globally recognized messianic moment. Who or what can you, will you trust? If the world is destined to be dominated by a simple religion, which one will it be? Will it be a blend of many or all, predominated by the Noahide laws? Who will be in or out? And who will reign over this new eclectic theocracy? Well, that decision was made by a group of Gentiles who came to Israel on January 10th, 2006. They came in front of the resurrected Israeli Sanhedrin and made this pledge. Please listen carefully. I pledge me allegiance to Hashem, God of Israel, creator and king of the universe, to his Torah and its representatives, the developing Sanhedrin. I hereby pledge to uphold the seven laws of Noah in all their details according to oral law of Moses under the guidance of the developing Sanhedrin. May Hashem, that is God, bless and aid me, my fellow council members, and all B'nai Noah, that is brothers of Noah, in all our endeavors for the sake of his name. Blessed are you, God, King of the universe, who has caused me to live, sustained me, and brought me to this day. Now that was their pledge. Gentiles pledging to come under the dominion and authority of the Sanhedrin, pursuant to the Noahide laws. Question, is this the anatomy of a one-world religion? Is righteousness for Gentiles then achieved by absolute obedience to the law of Noah? Is this in reality the anti-gospel? Like a total repudiation of the Christian faith? You might remember that David, as a prophet, wrote of the raging of the nations back there in Psalm 2. God spoke in response to their raging against his will that he would have them in derision. And then God responded, yet have I set my king upon my holy hill, calling the leaders of the Gentile and Jewish world to kiss the Son, blessed are all they that put their trust in him. Well, who is that Son? Have Jew, either Jew or Gentile, seen him yet? Would either Jew or Gentile recognize him if he showed up in person today? Why or why not? Would you? So the reality is that we are facing the whole world, given this letter, February 12, 2025, to Donald J. Trump from the resurrected Sanhedrin, the 71 elders of Israel that are their governing body. Given that, we are all facing monumental decisions. So, if you recall the prophet Joel, he spoke kind of soberly, I think, of these times, and he said, the day of the Lord. He called it the day of the Lord. So are we rapidly approaching that day when the true Messiah would be manifested? And how would you know? How can we know? Well, one thing is certain, friends. The prophet gave great warning of that day, and here's what he said. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. The whole world is in the valley of decision, friends. Donald J. Trump is in the valley of decision. It would be very tempting for Donald J. Trump to buy into this whole idea of a divine court. It sounds so religious, so spiritual, so wonderful, especially when you haven't really been all that deeply committed to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, when your wife is a Catholic, when your daughter is a Orthodox Jew by conversion, and you want to unite the world. You want to have peace. And so the Sanhedrin says, this is how you're going to get peace, Mr. Trump. Don't you say you love Israel? Don't you say that it's very important for the world to embrace Israel? Well, this is how you do it. This is how you get to the great final effort. So, the Sanhedrin said in their letter, these ethical principles were reaffirmed about Sinai when Hashem, God, revealed himself to the world. Enclosed with this letter, we have enclosed the Universal Ethical Common Code, which outlines the benefits of adopting the Seven Commandments of Noah, the role of ethics in business. A businessman who commits to being honest and good in the eyes of Hashem will seek trustworthy partners. Well, I agree with that. So they're trying to seduce Donald Trump, seeing that he's a businessman, to see the glories of embracing a Noahide divine court. By aligning economic relationships with divine morality, business and ethics become intertwined, fostering prosperity and trust. The Cyrus Trump coin and your historic role, Mr. Trump. There it is. And then they show the coin. You have been elected, as Cyrus was in his time, to fulfill a heavenly mission, they said, to unite all believers in God and foster ethical cooperation across all spheres of human activity. A call to establish an international divine court that they're calling the IDC, International Divine Court. So, they say, we invite you to meet with the Sanhedrin court rabbis in Jerusalem to discuss the establishment of an international divine court for all nations. This court would be based on the seven Noahide or universal commandments given to Noah and reaffirmed at Mount Sinai, a foundation for global peace and divine justice. May Hashem, that is God, bless you with wisdom, strength, and success in your divine mission. Wow. How could that not catch a guy like Donald Trump, who has to struggle with pride continually? How could that not catch him? And if he talked about this with his daughter, what do you think she would say? How about his Jewish cabinet members? Those that are, that is. What would they say? Pray for the president, friends. Really pray for the president. Thanks for joining us. Get a copy of the book, Messiah, Unveiling the Mystery of the Ages. $18. We'll put it in your hands. It's on our website, saveus.org. Call us, 1-800-SAVE-USA. Write to us at $6 of postage and handling. Become a partner, friends. We really need your support. We really do. That's the only way we stay on the air.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Crismier. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of our listeners. Let me urge you to become a partner with Chuck as a voice to the church declaring vision for the nation. Join us again next time on Viewpoint as we confront the issues of America's heart and home.